Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday morning. Thank you so much for being with us. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, dog. It was a phenomenal week, followed by a great weekend, followed by it's training camp season. No more damn lame-ass list seasons where people just try to But it's great to be in the house. Thank you to everybody that hung out with us at Twin Peaks. Obviously, being at SEC Media Day was great.
Yeah.
Over there at Merce.
All-star
just
game.
A busy week, man. It was a whole lot of fun. But, back in the beautiful Kia Studios to get everybody ready for prepping for the training camp.
Yep, take a breath, couple days. Obviously, get ready for Thursday. We'll be at Flowery Branch for the first day of Falcons training camp. I know over the next couple of days, people are going to report. We've been seeing videos. Other teams have shown up.
Right.
And whatever, some guys aren't there, some guys are there. Contract disputes, all kind of stuff going on around the league. But, it always kind of kicks off with SEC Media Days,
yeah.
Right? Like you get to get in there, and maybe the first day is about the off the field stuff is, and maybe this year was more than that because there's so much going on in college football off the field. But then you get to dig into the teams actually,
right,
and the games and the players and what you're looking forward to and the thing that we're also excited about those Saturdays, and then also Sundays obviously with the Falcons coming up. And yeah, I look forward to it. I can't wait to get up there on Thursday, and I'm sure we'll talk to either a player or who knows, maybe it'll be Terry Fontenot, maybe it'll be Raheem Morris. We always talk to everybody involved throughout training camp. So it's here, man. Around the corner.
Yeah, and I think what you said previously, like is the holdouts and all that, you're not gonna have none of that.
Nope.
It's not gonna be any semblance of any controversy and everything. I saw a video over the weekend, Kyle Pitts and him and Michael Penix and the boys were somewhere throwing, and he looked good, so I don't know if he's going to – you remember I asked Joe last week about possible PUP guys. Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem like he's going to be on it, so that's always a positive. Get all your guys out there on that first day because it's always exciting. Well, no, think about it. Training camp is cool. It ain't exciting about it. The first day, all right. After that, then it starts to drift and days run into each other and everything. But
it's exciting for us
because
to see you guys there and out there and all that.
Yes, but don't ever
probably not exciting for you.
Yeah, don't ever let them lie to you. Like, man, it's cool. No. But yet, this team, the expectations for this football team should be where they are to make a playoff and not just get in the playoffs, to make some noise when they get there. Starting quarterback, we know who he is. We know there's no physical limitations, or we have to be looking out to see is he limping or oh, he's not pushing off that back foot and everything like
that. God, remember that?
Oh goodness gracious!
The video breakdowns of Kirk Cousins like plant foot.
Yes, yes.
And the way that he was standing in the pistol. Remember that?
Yes.
Right foot back, left foot back, and people are breaking it down and all that.
Yes.
And yeah, God, thank goodness we don't have to do any of that.
Yeah, we ain't got to worry about none of that and everything. Just go up there and enjoy. Also enjoy the fact that we're going to get opportunities to interact with listeners and Falcon fans. And that's always that's mostly the fun part for me. Anyway.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's great. I mean, we didn't get a chance to do it last year, obviously, because they were renovating the parking lot, as well as expanding the weight room and doing some stuff to the practice field. It'll be kind of fun just to get up there and see what it looks like.
Yeah.
Honestly, I assume we'll be broadcasting in the same place, kind of right there in that parking lot, right near where the fans go in to training camp, near the hill and all that. So we'll find all that out on Thursday. I don't know that this is controversy probably, but I guess we'll all be looking Wednesday and Thursday. And you said you saw the video of Kyle out there catching passes with Penix. And so hopefully he looks good and expect him to be there Thursday.
Yeah.
McGarry's the other one.
Yeah.
Just kind of wasn't around during OTAs. Never really got much of an explanation for that. Long as he shows up on Thursday, then you move on from that.
Only thing that matters.
Yeah.
Only thing that matters.
And there's no reason to think that he won't.
Yeah.
It's just he wasn't there, and we don't know why.
Right.
So we'll just be keeping an eye on it this
week. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the only thing about it, man. But when you look, all the new additions defensively, a lot of young pass rushers, along with a veteran in Leonard. I mean, and I know, as we get closer to camp, position battles, they don't have a lot of them, I don't think.
Yeah, not that I can think
like
of.
Anything glaring. I mean, maybe the competition who plays next to Jesse, the nickel probably, because I know, they want the young kid to win that job.
Yes.
But I hate when you say you want him to win it, meaning are you going to overlook stuff that he ain't ready to go out there because you want him to be your starting nickel?
Mm-hmm.
This is a different game up here when you talk about guarding that NFL slot.
Yeah, and I think we've seen there was times last year and over the last couple of years where, like, there's been guys that they want to be playing more snaps in various positions.
But there's a reason
why
they're
not performing.
Exactly.
Even you saw it last year with Kyle Pitts. Like, they want Kyle Pitts to play at the most snaps at tight end, but he just wasn't getting it done.
Right.
So by the end of the season, he wasn't in there. It's kind of funny this time of year, too, just with It's vacation for a lot of the listeners, as school is a couple of weeks away. Vacation for folks here at the radio station too. So we haven't really worked with Abe much the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It's like ships passing in the night. He was doing the steakhouse today, so he was walking out. And he was like, yeah, we'll do some of those Falcons topics, like position battles later in the week.
And we both said like, at the same time.
Which ones?
Which ones?
He was like, I don't know. I got like six of them.
Like, damn,
six of them.
Six of them.
Now I'm racking my brain. It's like, I mean, you know, kicker.
All right.
We got that one.
Who's going to be the returner?
Like, okay, maybe.
There we go.
Yeah, maybe that's one.
No, it's Ray Ray's is, right? So Ray Ray's,
yeah, Ray Ray's
the point returner.
Yeah, Ray Ray's here.
Okay.
I mean, Ray Ray's the third receiver, too, right? You got Drake Darnell and Ray Ray. I mean, Casey Washington, Kadarrell Hodge. Like, there's depth.
Right.
But I think we know, for the most part, who the receivers are that are going to be out there. We know who the offensive line is. I'm like, look, I don't know. Pitts and Charlie Warner, I don't think, are in a position battle. Hopefully, like we said, Pitts will be out there more than he was last year. We know who the starting running back is. I mean, there's some questions on the D-line, for sure. Like, don't exactly know who's going to get, you know, the most reps at edge and all that stuff.
I think,
who's the third-down guy?
I think that's one of the things where you look at it, that'll figure itself out, because they're all going to play a lot. I think when you look at your top four rushers, they're all going to be in there, and they're all going to play. It's just a matter of, I think we put a lot in starting, you know, rather than playing and things like that. And you might be a guy where you're still a young pass rusher and we want to use you specifically like this and learn, have you learning the other first and second down calls and things like that. But I think, you know,
I can see Jordan Fuller and Xavier Watts. That's a battle.
Yeah.
Right? Because they signed Jordan Fuller in free agency. They drafted Xavier Watts in the third round. Super, I mean, just rave reviews on him.
Yes.
So those guys will probably battle it out. And then, like you mentioned, the nickel position as well, with Billy Bowman and D. Alford and all that. And even the second corner position, really.
Because like, I don't think that's solidified.
I don't think so either.
I don't think it's solidified.
And maybe, you know, maybe that's something that as camp goes on, like last year, late in camp, couple guys brought in, you know, in Judon and Simmons. Maybe there's a move for a veteran corner at some point. I mean, you have to find the money and a guy would have to be available, but it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, anything. And that's always the thing right around this time when you see moves like a Noah Fant. Like, that's something that I think if I'm Noah, I'm like, dog, like, y'all could have got me up out of here before, you know, right before training camp.
Right.
You know, I mean,
maybe could have found a home.
You could have found a home and things like that. And so you think about that kind of situation, who's still out there on the market, you know, as far as, like you said, veteran defensive help and things like that, because they did make moves last year right around camp to get Judon and get Simmons and those dudes in here. So do they make a move like that? I don't know. I don't really see a guy out there that can just become in and you're like, okay, pencil him in there.
Yeah.
You know, so the rest of it, he'll be a guy to compete with these guys, but I don't see that. Now, my biggest thing was the interior defensive line. That's where I'm looking at right there with Rook and those guys is because they need him to go. They need him to be an alpha dog in there. They need him to play the majority of the snaps at that position because he has some pass rush ability. We know when he's going, the dude can go. And so I think that's the biggest thing for me is watching his development because they need him bad.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he was a guy who was drafted high last year. They traded up to get him. Injuries and depth and stuff kept him off the field a bit last year, and the depth is gone. So hopefully injuries aren't in the way because he's going to have a chance, Ruka Rororo, that is, to play a ton of snaps this year. To a lesser degree, but similar, Brandon Dorlus is going to get an opportunity to play.
Yes.
Like, obviously, David Onyemata still on the team and Zach Harrison.
Are we surprised?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not, just because it would have been wild to me to move on from Grady and David Onyemata in the same offseason with just nothing proven behind him at all. But it, you know, you talk to Joe, you know, Joe seemed pretty confident that he wasn't going to be on the team.
He did.
So,
but I think a lot of people,
maybe Joe just has a personal issue with him.
Well, Joe has a personal issue with everybody.
You know
Joe
is.
That. You know, Joe just picks fights just to pick fights.
Yeah, he's
man.
A but troublemaker.
It should be an exciting, offseason. I'm sorry, it's training camp. It's always exciting because the next thing is the season, you know, and then you know, obviously you get an opportunity to, see this team whole. But right now it's just all about learning and grinding. That word will be, spewed so many times while we're up there, or you know, the grinding part of it, because that's what training camp is, and that's
it's like college,
and that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be hard, you know, and you know, it is. That's what she said.
Yeah,
but
it's like college, learning and grinding.
Already on a Monday.
Yeah, you got it.
Already
we're here.
Already on a Monday.
Braves lost 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. But not surprising.
But good things.
Ronald Acuña is incredible.
Yes,
he is. He's a superhuman. Like, you know, the results are what they are. Yeah. The season is what it is. But that guy, what he did on Friday, they just showed it on TV.
Yes.
That throw that he made on Friday night
real.
Is one of the dumbest things I've seen anyone do in I don't know how long. Like, the casual nature with which he did it, nobody knew it was happening except for him and Nacho Alvarez. Shout out to Nacho, by the way, for totally selling it. Like, acted like it wasn't coming, waited to the last minute, caught it, and tagged him.
Goodness
like,
gracious. Just, this is unbelievable.
Just a laser beam. He threw it 300 feet in the air on a dime to throw the guy out. But
the funny thing was, like, dude, like, if he hustles.
That's right.
I mean, you the one. Hey, it ain't our fault. Your pants were down by your ankle. But
yeah, man. If he
for
slides.
Him to get him like that, it was unreal. Unreal throw. Unreal series for him, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, the glove. They showed the glove yesterday.
And the home run.
And the home run. But then other good stuff. Ozzy.
Yeah.
Back-to-back. Yeah. I mean, good
nice
things.
To see Michael Ozzy Harris. On Saturday. Yeah.
It was good to see stuff that we were looking for. Now, I saw they signed a catcher, so that's giving you more and more inkling that Marcel's at-bats might be a little bit more limited than
they
are. Yeah,
I think
now.
We are probably at the tail end of the Marcelo Ozuna era in Atlanta. He did get the start yesterday, 0-for-4.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks you know, he looks done. He looks, whether it's the injury, I know he said he feels good now. It was an injury before, he feels good now. But it'd be great if they're going to trade him. It'd be great if he could string together something to try to up that value at all. But I think at this point, people probably kind of know what the value is for him on the market. It's probably not going to be a ton. You're not going to get a lot back from Marcelo Ozuna at this point, trading him before the deadline. But yeah, seems like they're comfortable with Murphy and Baldwin going catcher DH. They called up Sandy Leon, like you said, to sort of maybe he could catch some of those days as well. So those two guys don't have to play every day.
Right.
You know what I mean? And go back and forth between DH and catcher. The Stuart Fairchild got sent down in that deal. But yeah, I mean, that's what it is from that perspective. There's just nothing really fun is going to happen as far as that goes. Ozuna might get traded. Iglesias, cleaned it up a little bit because he had had a few good outings in a row.
He had a few good outings.
Well, then he decided.
Well, let me pause there real fast.
Okay.
Because I got a lot of this at the ballpark. I was still catching this, oh, no, Iggy's coming in the ninth. We're doomed. Before Saturday, Iggy hadn't given up a run since June 3rd.
Yeah, he had, I think, 15 straight innings of scoreless
3rd.
Baseball. And then for whatever reason, he got cocky and decided he's going to throw that slider again.
Yeah, exactly.
he had abandoned the slider. He didn't throw it for a month and a half.
It was crazy. Obviously, my family were gone. We had got back and got a chance to listen to Grant. And that was a funny thing. Grant said, he wants to throw
he
it.
He really wants to throw it.
And so, I mean, I get what you're saying. That's like you got caught cheating and didn't cheat on your wife for like two.
Right.
It's
like he's been good.
He hasn't cheated on her. I ain't been cheating or nothing.
He hasn't gone to any Coldplay concerts for like 2 months.
You know what I mean? I've been up. I've been walking the dog, scrubbing the floors, baby, baby, baby. And then all of a sudden, the first time I get out of the house, back in them streets.
God, I couldn't help myself.
Couldn't help my damn self, baby.
She threw the slider at me.
Yeah. She threw that slider and I had to hit it.
Maybe they'll trade him too. I don't know. All right. This hour is brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll talk a little golf coming up next in What's Trending. Just another insane performance by Scottie Scheffler, who seems to do it every single time. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Deep to right. Over toward the line. Acuna's got it. Tagging from second is Bibas. Whoa! They got him! Are you kidding me? A frozen rope. Bibas cannot believe it. Frenchie, I'm stunned. And they're not going to challenge it.
No.
Folks, that's as good as it gets.
Yeah, I mean, everyone was stunned. No one,
man.
No one saw it coming. The casual nature. He just kind of like basket caught it over his shoulder, and then spun. So I guess he got a little momentum with the spin. But like
to be as accurate as it was,
man. It's on a dime.
As accurate as it was,
it's on. And again, obviously the Brave or the Yankees player didn't slide or hustle because there was no inclination the ball was coming. Shout out to Nacho Alvarez for selling it like that, because if he starts looking up and like he's going to catch it, maybe the guy gets down and avoids the tag. So a great job selling it on his end as well. But yeah, I mean, pretty cool to see. Like, that thing has been everywhere. It was the highlight of the weekend.
I love the highlight, because I saw another one, because Tatis Jr. did it also.
Oh, he did?
It wasn't like that. But it was crazy, because it's like Tatis must have heard about what Ronald did. And he was a nice-ass play he made, too. It wasn't as difficult as Ronnie's was. But, yeah, I mean, the dude is – he's special, man. And it's always – you know, because we didn't know how he was going to look coming off the injury, because remember last time he came off the injury. But, I mean, he has been as advertised, Bunk. No matter where the hell you hit him at.
Yep.
It really don't matter. This dude is just a destructive baseball player.
And that ball he hit in the ninth last night, by the way, he absolutely crushed that.
Yes.
Like, that was insane. Mm-hmm. Devin Williams like, all right, let me try to sneak this little changeup by Ronald.
Pacquiao.
Pow. 460.
Pacquiao.
Dead center. And then, of course, the guys after him got out and the game was over. Yeah. But that's what we're celebrating the greatness of Ronald Acuña.
Yeah, and the good signs of what other guys
do. That's right. I mean, that's what it is. Hopefully Ozzy and Michael and some of these guys can sort of break out of it at the end of the year. Alex Anthopoulos has said over the last couple of weeks he doesn't plan on trading anybody that has more team control than the 1 year.
Which makes sense.
So, I think I said that wrong. He doesn't plan on trading anybody who does have team control more than 1 year. Okay. Yeah. So that's all those guys. Now, there has been some little whispers, though, about if a team really makes a strong offer for Ozzy, they would consider.
Yeah, because they have – Ozzy has team option, right, coming up or something like that.
Yeah, for next year.
Yeah, for next year's a team option and everything like that.
But,
who's going to do that?
The team option would save him – I think you'd have to pay him four and save him three.
Yeah.
But that means if you pick it up, you only got to pay him seven.
Right.
Like, that's the crazy thing about where Ozzy's at right now. Obviously, the expectation we have for him is way up here because he's done it. But he's playing about like a $7 million a year second baseman.
If you really want to talk like it is.
So you're getting you're getting what you're paying for, really. Like, for years, you were getting a great value because he was so good. You know, this year it's kind of been that. So I don't know. I'm sure they think about it like that a little bit.
They could.
They
probably could.
Because they're not going to spend a ton to get somebody else.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, do they have the guy on there, you know, the guy that's filling in for Austin at third?
Could be.
I mean, he's a guy that, you know, they list him as a shortstop, but I'm not going to say there's a difference between playing short and second, but I mean, there's different options that they can do. But I mean, as long as Isaac continues to do what he did this past week, we can see if he can. Like, I'm not saying going to hit back-to-back three like that or anything.
It was just nice to see.
It was just nice, dude. Yeah. It really, really was. And I think it was like Michael got a walk, you know. I mean, that was a good thing. I know he hit a home run, but, you know.
The walk was more surprising.
You know, but, you know.
It has been since May.
So, because it's going to be what it is. Spencer pitched well.
I did.
He pitched well.
Pitched well.
Great home wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, no. But and honestly, the kid, was it Wentz? Is that his name? Who pitched on Saturday. He did a nice job, too. The bullpen is just
awful. It is what it is.
Awful.
It is what it is.
Just, like,
It is what it is. I think the bullpen will cost you more games down the stretch than the hitting. I hope so.
Wow.
I hope so. That's a bold right there.
I don't know.
As many one-run losses these guys have lost. As many one
run it definitely was them this weekend.
Yeah, as many one-run loss games that they had.
Yeah. Well, they'll be battling it out to see who can cost the team more games.
That?
The offense or the bullpen. All right, let's hear Scottie Scheffler win another major.
And Scottie Scheffler has his Open Championship and the third leg of golf's Grand Slam.
What doesn't he have?
Doesn't have the U.S. Open
yet. Right.
Doesn't want a U.S. Open yet.
Because when I saw yesterday,
probably going to do that.
When I saw four, I was like, damn, it seemed like he got more than four.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, I was like, four? But, I mean, I think the coolest thing for me was, and it's always usually for me, is the interaction with Lil Man.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember when Lil Man was born. We remember when he was born and everything like that. And for him to be out there walking and looking and having a good time was awesome for me. But it was crazy because when we left Friday, we were talking about the conditions and how it didn't look like the British Open conditions.
Yeah, it was perfect.
It was perfect.
That's why everybody shot 65 yesterday.
Yes, like, it was perfect.
You're not running down Scottie Scheffler in conditions like that.
No.
The only way somebody like as good as him and as steady as him was going to fall off, and he probably wouldn't have anyway, is if the conditions leveled the playing field a little bit. And again, I don't know that it would have. The way that he's playing right now, he probably would be fine in bad weather too. But yeah, it was the lowest scoring average of a Sunday in an Open Championship ever.
Everybody got down.
Everybody shot. Yeah, I mean, just the guys in the. If you shot 70 or above yesterday, Hao Tong Lee shot 70. Shocking. Wyndham Clark 65. Harris English, Georgia Bulldog.
Yeah, man.
Congrats, solo brother. Second, won damn near $2 million. On the crazy one for me is Bryson DeChambeau ends up in the top 10, shot a damn 78 on Thursday.
Yes.
78 on Thursday, comes back with a 65, 68, 64 to get a top 10, which is pretty good. Rory played good, obviously not well enough, but nice that last time it was there in his hometown, he missed the cut. Yeah. So nice that he was able to do that. And yeah, I mean, Scottie Scheffler is right now in the midst of one of the greatest heaters we've ever seen in professional golf.
Yeah, he's on. But I think the one thing about him is, I don't want to say he doesn't dodge the Tiger comparisons and stuff like that. But I like he said that he said Tiger has how many?
Yeah,
and he's like
his answers are right.
He said I only have four.
His answers are right. But here's the thing about I think it's kind of premature to do anything really like that. But he keeps winning, and he keeps sort of adding his name to these. There's only a couple guys who have ever done this. Right. There's only a couple guys who have ever done that.
So that's where he is now.
The weirdest coincidence with this one is the time between his first and fourth was 1,179 days.
Yes.
Exactly how many days it was between Tiger's first and fourth.
Yes. So there it is.
Same tournaments. Yes. And all. Obviously, yes. It would have to be the same tournaments for it to be the same days. But so there are parallels. And I think it's okay to like say that there are parallels without saying somebody's as good as or degrading somebody else or anything like that. Like, I don't know. He keeps doing it. He keeps putting his name in that conversation.
Yeah, no, you know? He is an outstanding player. We understand that. The biggest thing with him, the consistency that he does his job with, Andy.
Yeah.
Like, very rarely does he have a bad round.
Almost never.
Very rarely.
He doesn't make bogeys.
Like, it's one of those things where you got to beat him. Because very rarely is he going to beat himself.
Yeah, and that's the thing about, too, I think, with the four that he's won. So now he has four, and he's won them by an average of four strokes.
Yes.
So, and all of them felt like they could have been way more than that. Remember that first Masters he won? I think he made like a double.
Because he has two Masters. He has the Open and
the PGA
and
this year.
Okay. Damn.
But every time it's a stroll to the finish. It'll be fun to see him win one when he has to duel somebody on Sunday, right. Which will happen eventually. Yeah, he's not going to win every major by four strokes. And I heard a conversation about it this morning just as far as, like, you know, the other part of it that's hard to compare is just the cultural impact that Tiger had, the flair with which.
I think that's why he said it more like that. Like, yeah. Tiger's in a different.
He's a different guy. Different. Like, yeah, what he represented and the time and all that kind of stuff was just different. But also the way that he went about it was different, too. Like, Tiger hits a good shot, you're going to know about
yes.
it. He's going to club twirl. He's going to pump his fist. He's walking the ball in and all that kind of stuff. You don't. If Scottie hits a bad shot or a good shot, his reaction's the same.
Dog it.
It's just as dang as it. Like, you know.
And then I like Tiger. Well, no, never mind.
I don't mean this as a criticism because you have to be great in order for this to be true, but he's so boring. Like, it's so boringly good. You know what I mean?
Well, I was going to say, like Tiger. Well, Tiger spent a night in the tank.
Yeah, yeah, so did Scottie.
Just
a morning.
Yeah,
that's
right. Scottie, they both did time, so they know what that other side like. They don't want to go back there.
Yeah, no, that is true.
Yeah,
they're both.
They're both rehabilitated. They both rehabilitated.
Tiger's mugshot is 100 times better than Scottie's.
Oh man,
Tiger really earned it.
Yeah, dog. No, Tiger, like I said,
really shouldn't
Tiger,
have been Tiger, behind the wheel.
Tiger was more in a tank than the drunk tank.
Yeah,
Scheffler was in there with the big boy.
Yeah.
Like, he had to eat that bologna sandwich.
Scottie's like, I got a tea time,
like,
man.
They had Scottie in orange in the jumpsuit, didn't they?
Put him in the jumpsuit.
Yeah, see, Tiger didn't get no jumpsuit.
Yeah, he didn't see that.
Tiger
one.
Didn't jumpsuit.
But they had Scottie out of there in time. He played that day. He shot like a 68.
They put Scottie in the jumpsuit, man. It gave him them shower shoes.
That's the only thing that can slow him down at majors. Is the Louisville PD. They arrest him on the way to the course.
They put that man in the damn.
And again, he's still
suit.
Like, I think, was that the first day or the second day of the tournament? He was still in.
Where were we at?
He was leading.
We were out that
day. We must have been Friday because we were at Twin Peaks.
Yeah, we were out that day. Yeah.
We were like, wait a minute. What happened to Scottie Scheffler?
Yeah, we were out that damn day.
Yeah, man. The run that he's on is insane. And the reason that it feels like more than four is because he's won 20 in the last 3 years. Just tournaments.
Unbelievable.
Just the amount of tournaments that he's won. I mean, he's had a Hall of Fame career in like 30 months. It's crazy.
How old is Scottie?
29.
Okay.
So he's not going anywhere. Unless he gets injured, he's not going anywhere. All right, we'll come back. We'll get back into some of the other big things that happened over the weekend and back into some Falcons discussion as well. As training camp gets underway on Thursday. Thanks for being with us. This hour brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You get the bag and fumble it and dumble it.
I get the bag and I flip it and tumble it.
Tumbling and dumbling.
That's why I'm better with the bag. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy. Monday morning, 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. Late morning, it's almost noon. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour as training camps across the league are opening this week. Some have already opened. Falcons obviously gets underway on Thursday. We will be there in Flowery Branch live doing the show. A bunch of shows, about 10 of them, I think, between Thursday and mid-August when preseason gets underway and all that. So Falcons football right around the corner. We'll get to an NFL no huddle at noon. A couple different NBA news and notes coming up at 12:20. I saw Chris Paul just signed with the Clippers.
Yep.
No surprise to anybody. Boy, are they compiling just a real roster of guys that aren't going to be able to play the whole season.
Looking like
it's going to be that's a bunch of old
James.
Hurt guys.
James plays.
Yeah, James been playing. James been playing.
Yeah.
But they got Bradley Beal and Chris Paul and obviously Kawhi and all. I mean, you name it. You got anybody over 35, they're probably on the Clippers.
Yeah, man, they're going for it.
Yeah, they're going. I don't know what it is, but they're going for the oldest roster in the NBA award.
Yeah, they're going for it. Shout out to the Midday Show's Auntie, Aunt Pam, today's her birthday. Happy birthday, Aunt Pam. As I told you, we're all clumped in this one month of birthdays. Me and my family, me, my cousins, my auntie. So she's the latest one. There's a couple more in the next couple of days.
So what is it? It's July, like from late June to mid-July, right? That's all the McMichaels.
Yeah, pretty much.
So if you go back 3 months, right around St. Patrick's Day, that makes sense. Yeah. McMichael. The McMichael family loves to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, we do. We get it in.
That's what happens.
Yeah, man, we get it all the way in on them days, man.
But that's interesting. Everybody's all clumped together.
Yeah, shout out to my gal, man. Shout out to my gal.
Love it.
Yeah, but I know I was going to, because I wrote that Chris Paul thing down. Like, I know something that I know people are saying last couple of years he wanted to go back, because I'm assuming his family, his wife and his baby still stay out there. So he want to play one more year. Still can't get to the Lakers now, huh?
I guess not.
Yeah, he still can't get to the Lakers. Ah, well.
Close enough.
I mean, and
they even shared a building with him for the first time he was there.
Oh, that's right.
Now they got their own building.
Remember they said that, what was that joke that, oh, God, was it the Lakers hang up banners? Remember the Clippers used to put up that big poster? Yeah. And it's to cover the Lakers banners, which is just the greatest thing ever.
The seats were still purple and gold.
Yeah, they were, but in the damn court, you could see gold hanging from up under the little black court they had.
Yeah, you could.
But they got their own place.
That's right.
It's immaculate.
It is very nice.
It's very, very nice.
And a lot of toilets.
Yeah, from what you know, you don't want nobody to have to wait, which I can, you know what? I can always get with.
Yeah, look, if you're going to build a state-of-the-art arena, think of all the amenities.
Yeah,
you don't want people waiting in line for toilets.
And they got amenities.
I heard that they're going to have a T-shirt cannon shooting off the scoreboard.
What?
Yeah, they're going to be shooting T-shirts off the scoreboard so you can get them into the upper deck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, you know, you sit high enough up there. Like, it's fun to see all the people down there getting shirts.
Yeah, what about me?
Yeah, I need it more.
Right.
I'm up here in the nosebleeds. Those people down there, they probably won't even wear it. You know?
Yeah, but
down there wearing Gucci
and all
that. I've
never heard of that before.
Yep. So T-shirt cannons on. I don't know that they're going to do it. But
I'm saying.
When Steve Ballmer was spitballing ideas when they were making the arena, he just kind of threw that one out there.
No, just make sure it's at a proper speed.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you
could. Right. Toilets!
You might take somebody out, but because the Hawks have that gun. I'll never forget 99 game, and he had that damn gun, which is the funniest thing in the world. And I remember I was like, do I want to go over to Tip to do this? I was like, because. If it fails, because his came out and went in the front row.
Uh-huh.
I guess it didn't have enough air in it or whatever. It said poof, and it landed in the second damn row. So, yeah, I would be embarrassed as hell if that would happen to me with that damn gun.
That would be bad. What would be worse is if you accidentally shot it and, like, aimed it low and popped some person.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I don't got no business using that damn thing. No. But, yeah, that was pretty damn funny, man. But, yeah, hey, more power to you, man. The many gimmicks you can do. The better.
Yeah, you got to get people in that building. And again, you know, I guess having a bunch of 35 plus year olds is part of the gimmick of, AARP night or something like that for the Clippers.
Because he don't care about all NBA. Because I'm thinking, like, the whole thing revolves around Kawhi. And we can tell they're a different team when he's there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, but yeah. Does he play sixth this year?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. No, zero chance.
By organization choice or his?
I don't know. Probably a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. He'll get hurt at some point.
Yeah, you know what? You know, Ty Lue, yeah, it's tight.
Here's the problem, though. Like, he was healthy last year in the playoffs and playing as well as he's played.
They just do what the Clippers do. They led eight in Game 7.
Yeah, they played awesome and could have beat the Nuggets, and then they played awful in Game 7. No one showed up, and that was that. Like, I don't know. I guess run it back because you have so much money invested in all these guys, but I don't know. That was the proof of concept was there. Like, they played to the best of their ability as a group in that series, and they still lost.
Oh, I know we were talking about the Braves earlier. I guess Snick's meeting with the media. Quote from Dave O'Brien said, quote, Snicker said, as long as Ozuna is here, he's not going to rot on the bench. Said he'll play him against certain pitchers that are good matchups. Guys have seen before and had more success against than Murphy and Baldwin. So if he's had success against a pitcher, he's going to play.
Okay.
Yeah.
As long as he's here.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of the most important part.
Yes.
Which I think we all see the writing on the wall, right? Like, Marcelo Zuna is probably not long for the Braves.
Right. And, you know, it's you know.
It's a shame.
It is because.
It was really good run.
He's a really good run, fun player. You can tell all his teammates love him and everything like that. But the business part of it, sometimes it just kicks your ass.
Yeah, and the team's bad, and he's about the only asset they have for any kind of trade right now. Again, I don't know what you're going to get for him.
No.
Like, I wouldn't expect it to be much.
No, I wouldn't either. Like, if you're thinking that's going to be a haul for Marcel? No.
No. I mean, again, I don't even know what. Like, you're probably not getting a major leaguer. Because any team that trades for him is trying to add to what they have, right? So they're in it. Man, I was reading an article this morning about buyers and sellers as the deadline approaches. It's insane how many teams are buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of how many, you know, you're right around 500. You're in the mix for the wild card.
Right.
So many more teams make the playoffs now. The Braves are only one of like five teams that aren't.
Yeah.
Like that are actually sellers.
But I thought about this was like, could Alex do what Alex does and go get somebody that, you know, I don't want to say stash him, but a guy for next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I think that's what it would be.
You know, something like that.
Yeah.
Like, as far as like, you say a bullpen arm or whatever, but if he's going to make a move, it'd be for something for next year. Not necessarily something that's going to have to be put through on the top now.
No, what they're doing, if they trade him or any of these other guys that are in the bullpen, is to try to get some players with some longer control.
Yeah.
Because Ozuna's gone at the end of the year anyway. Same thing with Iglesias, Pierce Johnson. I think there was one other guy in the bullpen that could possibly have some value. But again, like, if you're trading Ozuna to a team right now, that team's trying to win, right? Like, you're not adding Marcel Ozuna right now for the future. Like, you just get him in the offseason when he's a free agent. So they're not giving up a bullpen arm who's actively in the majors. Like, maybe a young guy who you like that's in their minor league system that you could bring up next year for the Braves bullpen. I don't know. We'll see. But it's a shame that this is sort of what the season has come to, and also kind of what his run in Atlanta has too, because there's some really good moments. All right, what did we want to get into here? A little bit of Falcons stuff, or I got the all SEC teams in front of me. We could do that. Last week we were there at SEC Media Days and got out of there before they released this. The SEC preseason media poll by team.
All right,
Texas. Not surprising.
Not surprised.
Georgia, Alabama, LSU. Those are the top four.
Yeah, not surprised at all by those four. I think, you know, the Texas thing is being pushed. Now, they got a whole lot of talent, but I don't know if they're as good as the hype that they are.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't know that. And that's just, you know, and that's just
one of the also didn't think they were as good as the hype last year.
Yeah, and, you know, it proved when they played Georgia. I think the biggest thing with Georgia, as we talked to Kirby last year, is that you don't know this team. You know, I think we get, as far as Georgia, we get the benefit of Kirby Smart being our head coach. You know, because he is, without a doubt, in my opinion, the best coach in college football, and he's always going to have his teams ready to play. Now, ready to play is relative to how good the guys that are there. Now, you have a quarterback who nobody knows about. Saw him a couple of times before then. Then you look at what you lost. Defensively, but yet you still have some good players. But it goes back to something me and Kirby talked about a couple years ago when we had him on. And I was like, it's one thing to have, you know, that talent. But I'm talking about you looking for first play talent, meaning who's out there first. And how many times can you get those guys to play those reps? Because Kirby plays a hell of a lot of people. But yet you got to find that war daddy and all that. Of all the people that he played, because they play a whole lot of people in Georgia, there's always that one dude. There's always that, or two or three guys that's going to be a Jalen Walker. they don't have a guy like that that we know of.
That we know of.
Yeah, that we know of. Yeah. Now, you might have somebody that's as talented as Jalen, mm-hmm. but you don't have the film on him. We haven't seen him yet. Right. And I think that's the biggest thing with Kirby is that all the whole receiver room is being revamped. Mm-hmm. And the offensive line is going to be a little bit different than it was last year. And the main thing is there's a new quarterback. We just haven't seen him. And I think that's the biggest thing coming back, you know, as far as this year for Georgia is that we have not seen those guys who are going to be the major contributor. Now, we saw snippets of them. We saw them in there rotational now. Now, so some of those rotational guys are going to have to play those bigger roles.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest difference between this year and the last, like, five. Coming into it is there was always at least one, if not, you know, five or six or even more than that, guys that you're like, well, this guy is going to be great. You know it. You've seen it. He's an upperclassman. He's coming back. You believe in it. That's also why when you look at the rankings, whether it's SEC or nationally or whatever, they're not right at the top. Now, they're near the top because talent-wise, they're right there with everybody.
Yes.
It's just a matter of talent that's unproven. I mean, more than half the roster is guys that are in their first or second year.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yes.
That's very un-Kirby at UGA-like. But that's also college football.
That's
right
where
now,
we
right?
are. Like, that's where we are.
Guys leave. I think they lost 16 guys from last year's team to the transfer portal, and they brought 10 guys back in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the guys that were brought in are expected to be contributors, especially
big
contributors. The guys on offense.
Yes.
But you haven't seen them.
Yep.
So, I mean,
we've seen them play. We just haven't seen them play at Georgia.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. There's some guys from USC.
Yeah.
There's guys from various different places. You just haven't seen them play for Georgia. And that's the big difference is in this great run that they've been on, there's always been, oh, wow, that guy's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
They have another year of Brock Bowers.
Yes.
Carson Beck's coming back after that year that he had. And now he's thought of as one of the best quarterbacks in the country. That also should serve as a reminder of, like, hype certainly doesn't mean everything.
No.
Like, Carson Beck was one of the most hyped quarterbacks in the country last year and had one of the worst seasons of any of those guys. That's when I think about the quarterback is, like, I know it's different because you were able to get away with it in part because the defense was so great, like historically great, elite, one of the best in the country year after year, where you could have a quarterback who maybe wasn't going to be first team all SEC or one of the best guys in the country. I know Stetson ended up being a Heisman finalist, but even throughout that year, there was a lot of games that were just solid, that were just managed, right? When Kirby's teams have been at their best, that's the kind of play they've gotten from quarterback.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it kind of goes back to when Nick started winning championships at Alabama. Like, you really didn't have the Tuas and Jalen Hurts, and obviously not going on thinking about short kid at
Bryce Young.
You didn't have those type quarterbacks. You had Matt Elroy's and all those guys like that were good quarterbacks, but they weren't. You weren't going to confuse them with a first round pick quarterback, and so that's how they want to manage it. Kirby wants to be able to rely on his defense. Don't turn the ball over. Play outstanding on special teams. That's what he wants. Now, sometimes you got to go away from that moment, and a lot of times when you go away from it, because I do think he went away from it when he had Carson because of the talent, the rocket arm, and all those different things. And also, when have you never seen Georgia not be able to run the ball?
Right.
You know, they were always able to. If they're going to do anything offensively, they're going to be able to run the damn football.
That was a huge part
of
what happened last year.
They couldn't run the football, so you had to put more on Carson. But yet, putting more on Carson and not giving him the weapons to be able to do that was a big problem last year.
Couldn't run the ball and then had to throw it more with the receiving corps that had the most drops in the country.
Yes.
Tough. It's a tough recipe.
Yes.
Not to mention Carson Beck was throwing the ball to the wrong team half
a lot
the time,
of times.
Too. So I just think, like, if Gunnar Stockton is able to get back to that style of quarterback that, you know, like year one Stetson, a lot of Jake Fromm, just like a lot of the type of play that Kirby has got, even like year one Carson Beck.
But he's going to have
like
to
year
be
one
to,
Carson Beck.
Have to be able to run the ball.
Yes, the offense has to be able to run the ball.
Yes.
And look, I mean, you know, as much as there are some new faces on the offensive line, like some of these names too, like Monroe Freeling is supposed to be a great player.
Yes.
Drew Bobo at center is supposed to be a great player. Ernest Green at right tackle is supposed to be a first round draft pick in the NFL.
I mean, you look at Ernest Green, he came in gangbusters starting at left tackle.
Right.
And it's just slowly he's been moving down the damn line all the way to right.
These guys are supposed to be one of the strengths of the team. Yes. Last year, going into the year, people that know, like not just like random, you know, carnival barkers, like people that know, like Roddy and Rusty, like people that we trust about Georgia football are like, this might be the best offensive line they've ever had.
Yes.
And it was just wrong. Like, all the way wrong. You know, people are wrong sometimes.
All the way wrong.
And clearly that's part of what the issue was last year. If this offensive line can get back to what Georgia is used to, I think Nate Frazier is an all-SEC type running back.
Biggest thing with Nate, you got to hang on to the ball, mm-hmm. son. You got to hang on to the ball because he has all the bill in the world, man. This dude runs hard. He can catch the ball better than you think he can.
Fast, I mean, he's explosive.
Fast, yes. Yeah. But his biggest thing, he's got to hang on to the football mm-hmm. because once that report is that you'll put the ball on the ground, they're coming for it.
Oh, yeah. They're going
to come for it.
Grabbing at it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, remember, I mean, but yeah, he is a definite bright spot. And there's other runners that's got to come in and everything. But I think, you know, nobody's going to be Brock Bowers ever again. But they got some good dudes in there. Lawson Luck is a damn good player. Mm-hmm. All he's done is offseason, got bigger and stronger. Obviously, Oscar Delp's going to hold it down at the wide tight end. And they got the kid from Missouri, I think he's from. But
transfer?
No, I thought they had the freshman coming
in. Oh, Jaden Riddell, is that his name?
I can't remember his name. I know the rest
Ellis
of
Williams?
I know he's a tight end. I think he's from Missouri.
Okay.
But, yeah. They got guys. They just got to, you know.
Ellis Williams is a great name for a tight end.
Damn sure is, isn't it? I like Ellis.
Ellis, yeah.
I like Ellis.
It's a classic.
Yeah, you look at everything in front of them. Texas, they got all the money, all the talent, all the stuff you want to say is bought. Who gives a damn?
Gives a damn.
Who gives a damn? That's where we're at in college.
Everybody's
football.
Team's bought.
Yeah, that's where I'm from. Alabama's going to be really good.
Yeah, I think
Ben
so too.
Grubbs and
I think
Taylor
that defense
together,
is going to be.
I think that defense
a real
is
problem.
Be nasty.
Yeah,
nasty. And LSU, they might have the best quarterback in the conference.
They might,
and they got talent.
They might. They got a lot of talent. I also, I can't wait to see Lenoris Sellers.
Yes,
we saw him last year. He got better throughout the year. There's a lot of
bring back the specs.
A lot of sneaky hype for South Carolina too, which is fun.
Bring back.
Fun.
The
I like
specs.
Their coach. I like their quarterback. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.